This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad and honored to be with you guys today. I tell you, we have a dynamic, powerful audience across the globe, and I am honored and thrilled and always excited to be a part of your living room, a part of your day, a part of maybe you drinking your coffee today, and glad you tuned in to us today to Thoughts Become Things. You know, one of the things I have really been thinking about over and over and over again this month, because I focused this month a little bit more on the sort of law of attraction, the thoughts become things mentality, and every once in a while I sort of circle back around to that because I know it's sort of the theme, it's the outline of our lives if you think about it. I mean, biblically, that's just pretty much how it is. You know, you think of these scriptures about choose you this day whom you will serve, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, there's so many verses, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and which really sort of stirs up a power in me to make me realize and understand that within the scriptures, there is a power. Let's just face it, folks, there is a power that is sort of beckoning us, or, you know, to almost like come up hither, come up higher, or be a part of it. It's almost like an invitation. It says, you know, come, this is including you. You know, when I read scriptures in the Bible, I always tend to read almost like this open invitation of like, come be a part of it. Come and join in. Do the principles and they'll work for you. You know, I sort of get this invitational mentality, and I'm liking that because, you know, when you do think of things such as ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open, you know, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, you know, or choose you this day whom you will serve, or, you know, or God asking Ezekiel, you know, when Ezekiel, and God asks Ezekiel, you know, will these bones live, you know, and Ezekiel's like, I don't know, God, only you would know. And it's sort of an open invitation where it's like God is sitting here saying, I want you to step up. I want you to be a part of this. And I was thinking the other day something. I'll get my message here in a minute. But I was thinking the other day on notice how when you think of the universe, you think of creation, notice how everything is inviting you to participate. You think of sports. Well, sports, you know, you just don't sit back and watch sports. You know, you have to have a team of participants, right? Sort of participating in sports. And so if participants are not participating within it, it's not entertaining. It's not fun. You wouldn't have a game, right? If you think of a marriage, you think of, you know, two people walking up front and, you know, the minister is saying, you know, hey, you know, do you, you know, you take this woman, you take this man or whatever, and, you know, and there's an invitation to say, yes, I do. There's a decree, you know, yes, I agree. Yes, I decree. Yes, I will, you know. And there's always everything in creation. I mean, you think of biblical principles when it deals with, let's say, the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, you know, and not to get very, you know, biblical on you, but yet let's just go there for a moment, because it's that place of, I love it, because God is sort of giving once again the church's invitation to say, hey, I'm going to initiate, you know, several people to take these positions, these roles, and they will speak up, and they will have a say-so, and they will bring alignment, and they will bring instruction, and they will begin to mobilize, and they will begin to align. And, you know, and so you get this invitation even from that where God is saying, even my church, even my people have to have participants, and I'm going to initiate. And I like this sort of thinking about it, because it's like God saying, I'm going to initiate people to come forward. It's almost like an invitation to empower them and say, now you got to come forward because you know your power. You got to come forward. You know your giftings. You got to come forward because you know now I'm calling you and I'm empowering you. So the invitation is even saying, I'm giving you tools. And it's, you know, come forth. Be not just participate, but do your stuff. Do your thing. When you do, it changes people's lives. And so there's this amazing biblical truth of just God creating everything in creation to say, I need people, but I need people to do something, to participate, to be a part of. Because if not, then creation doesn't really it can't create, right? Creation can't create because you have to have participants to create within creation. And even the word creation has the word create in it, right? So it's a great call. It's a powerful call to say, I need everyone and everything to participate. The sun participates in its shining forth. The moon participates, you know, in its rotation around the earth. The earth participates in its rotation around the sun in the cosmos, you know. And so everything participates. If things in life didn't participate, there would be no need to even have creation. There'd be no need in having a universe, right? There's no need having anything. God would just be God and in a discussion, right? Just God, period, right? But I love the fact that we have a creation, that God made things to participate and to do and to be a part of something. So with all that being said, that's just sort of my food for thought for the day, guys. You know, it's almost like the old, you know, as with ABC, like shooting star, things you need to know, you know, for you guys today. But I want to sort of share something that's really near and dear to my heart, because once again, the theme this month is getting a little bit back around to that sort of law of attraction, participating, you know, and when you think of therapists, I was laughing the other day because I was thinking even therapists themselves are like, you know, there's a phrase, an old phrase from a movie, and it says, you know, you got to participate in your own recovery. You know, it's like even psychologists and psychiatrists, they can't make something happen. You got to participate. So what do? They sort of give you this, once again, invitation of how does this make you feel? You know, it's funny how you watch the movies and it's usually the popular phrases of like, you know, the doctor asks questions, psychologists ask questions, people talk and they chat and all of a sudden it's like, well, how did that make you feel? Okay, what did you do about that? You know, did that alter, you know, something, you know, within your life when that happened? You know, and so it's like an invitation and just pulling out the conversation, because they know that you can't recover unless you participate in your recovery, because most of the time you find yourself giving your answers to yourself out loud. And sometimes when somebody calls you on that to say, do you listen to what you just said? They're like, oh, wow, wait a minute, you're right. And so it's such a beautiful thing to understand participation truly is recovery. Participation in life can bring forth recovery. You might say, well, if I participate in this situation, you know, I made a mess of it. Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if God brings all things back, turns all things around for our good, then guess what? Even your participation will result eventually into the recovery mode of God will turn around. So there's still recovery mode. So you can't even have recovery mode unless you mess something up, right? So recovery would not be necessary or needed if something hadn't been messed up. So even within participation, you still have recovery. So there's a beautiful thing in this amazing vast universe that the kingdom of God works in us to say, you just do your thing. You participate. Take the invitation of the universe and just go into it. Let the kingdom of God just initiate you to live life, participate in life, and at the end of the day, there will be a story, a power, a journey, a recovery mode, a learning curve. There will be everything. And I love that about life. I really do. And on that note, as we get into the podcast today, folks, you know, it's almost like with Jeremy Lopez, it's almost like squirrel. You'll talk about something, all of a sudden it's sort of like lead you into something else. But that's how prophetic people are. We just sort of led by the Spirit, right? So within that phrase, within this moment, let's sort of take this into the month's theme of law of attraction for a moment, because some of the things that the Holy Spirit really laid on my heart earlier today, which I thought was really awesome, is understanding structure. Okay, and so what we're going to call this podcast pretty much is dismantling and mantling structure. So we'll say mantling and dismantling structure. How's that for a good podcast name? So with that being said, let me sort of explain this to you. Some of the things that we forget in our lives is that we tend to forget sometimes that we actually structured in our deconstructive. In other words, we structure sometimes even when we deconstruct something, or let's put it another way, we structure something even within our messes. Messes is still a structure. And I want you to hear me for a moment, because we have this sort of, especially in the Western world, we have this mentality where it's like, oh, I really messed that one up. And there's an old saying, it's like, I royally messed that up. Okay, well, we see that and we realize it's a mess. And we think mess is something to the effect of that looks a little bit like blob or garbage or just blob, you know, just like no structure, no form, no whatever, right? But with that said, you have to think about this from a realistic point of view. Messes is still a structure. It's not a lack of structure, it's still a structure. So if I was to get a cup, I have marbles in it, and I throw the marbles on the floor, and I think, I've made a mess of things. I've made a mess of marbles, okay, all over the floor. By the time those marbles settle down, okay, on the floor, you can pretty much draw lines between each marble, right? So if you think about it, you could say, man, there's like seven marbles just scattered out on the floor. Okay, if I had a pencil and those marbles settled down, I could take that pencil and I could start at one marble and I could draw a straight line to one marble. I could draw a straight line to another marble until I maybe draw straight lines until I reach the seventh marble. If you think about it, you will never have actually a curve. And I want you to think about this really good and hard, folks. You would never, I wish I had a piece of paper I could show you guys, but it's hard to see when it's more of audio, not video. But if you think about it, you won't have any even curvature. Now, curvature is still a structure. However, you're going to always have straight lines. So everybody picture this with me for a moment. Picture in your hand, you got a cup in your hand, okay? Let's make it a little more simple. Let's say you have four marbles, okay? You have four marbles in that cup, and you can shake it all you want to. Whether you don't shake it or shake it, it's not going to matter, right? And then all of a sudden, you just pour them on the floor. You pour the marbles on the floor. So I want everyone right now to look down the floor, wherever you are. Hopefully not in the car, because you were wrecked, so don't do that. So you're in the car, you're in this, you're looking down the floor, and you see four marbles, okay? And they sort of roll over here and roll over here. Okay, now I want you to picture this. Picture your hand with a pencil, and you're starting from one marble, and you're drawing a straight line to any other of those marbles. You're not going to even have a curve. You would not, because at one marble, no matter what other three of the marbles you pick, you can draw a straight line to that. Now, if you start at the second marble that you drew a straight line to, you could draw another straight line to another marble. And then you'd find the fourth marble and you would draw a straight line to that one. Think about it, there would be no curves. So even within the lines, there is still what we call structure. There's still what we call a straight line. So there's not squigglies, there's not messes up, there's just still structure. So with that being said, when we're talking about mantling and dismantling, I want you to begin to think for a moment. We tend to forget that making a mess of my life, you know, oh my goodness, stepping out of God's will, whatever that looks like for you, or, you know, I mess this up. The key thing you have to think about is the power you have, for lack of better words, that actually destroyed that how you would see it or call it, or messed it up how you see it and call it, or, oh, it's just so, you know, misconstrued how you would call it, still will have straight lines to it, spiritually speaking. So in other words, no matter what you messed up, there's still a structure to something messed up. Structure doesn't mean necessarily perfection. Structure doesn't mean even a positive or negative. Structure is not always a positive. And that's one thing we forget. And I'm sort of blowing your mind a little bit on some areas, but you have to think. Structure is not always a positive, nor is it always a building up. Structure is just structure. Let me give you guys a great example. So when I say to you, for example, you know, things such as someone says, I made a mess of this situation. I want you to think for a moment. Here's what you need to say that'll help you guys out therapeutically, and that is this. You know what? I actually created this messy structure, for lack of better words. I created this messy structure. Didn't turn out too good. But with that being said, I'm going to remember the words that I'm using now, which is I created a messy structure. Here's what you're reinforcing within yourself. You're reinforcing the power of creating. You're reinforcing the power of structure. You can leave out the word messy if you want to. No big deal. You know, if you want to think it through. But you're still understanding your power. This is where we miss it. You're still understanding your power. Most people don't think of that way. They say, oh my gosh, everything's messed up. And think about Adam. If Adam would have known this reality, Adam would not have blamed Eve. Adam would have said, you know what? I messed this up because I created this mess. Now, we're talking about thousands of years ago. However, it would have been easier maybe for Adam to begin to see the, we'll say, the wickedness of his ways, the bad turns he took. But yet he would still recognize his power to create, which means there might be a place of repentance there that possibly could have changed history, or possibly could have said, you know what, wait a minute, if I created this damage, I can still recreate it, dismantle it, and begin to create again. So instead of saying something the effect of, see what Eve did to me? It's Eve. It's the woman you gave me. And all of a sudden, what happens is you dismiss your creative power. Whether you messed it up or you got it right, you are not just dismantling, you're dismissing your creative power. You're dismissing the creative power. When you look all through history of people who blame people, or people who say, oh my gosh, I've royally, you know, messed this up completely. Because the words they use are saying that there's no structure, there's no theme, there's nothing to this mess, and now that I'm in this quote-unquote mess, I don't know what to do. Now, let me explain to you psychologically what I mean by that. Because when you look at something, you say, now I don't know what to do. Here's where you're left in limbo. How many of you in your life, one if not 50 other times, have you been left in limbo by saying, I've messed this up, I messed this up, and yet you don't know what to do from there? Most of us do the right thing in the sense of saying, I messed this up so bad, oh God, forgive me. You should. Hey, you know what, you messed up? Ask God to forgive you. You messed up, ask God to help you restructure it. But here's what's going to happen is mentally, you will have a harder time trying to put something together. And that is why most people, hear me closely, folks, and I need to get an amen from you guys. That's why most people tend to find themselves saying things such as, I messed this up, God, please forgive me. Fix this for me, God. Fix this for me, God. I need you to fix this for me, God. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it, God. Fix this for me. Now, let me first of all tell you this. If that's you, you've lied, okay? So I love you, but I'm going to say this to you. You're a liar at the moment, okay? Been there, done that, so I'm laughing at myself here. Hello. You're being a liar. You know, I say that in a loving way because of the fact, and you need to laugh about yourself because you're like, oh my God, I've done that, God, Jeremy. The reason why, because you're lying. Because you look at yourself and you're thinking, I don't know how to fix this, God. What do I do? God, fix this. I don't know how to do it. Here's what you're doing. You are discounting and discrediting your power that God's given you, that when he says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, you're discounting that, you're discrediting that, therefore you are discounting the power that Christ has died to give you, okay, of life, life more abundantly, for one. For another, you're also turning around, and now because you psychologically see your mess has been a lot bigger, And you didn't realize that you actually created the mess, then you, if you don't see it that way, then you're going to look at this and say, it's too much for me, and because it's too much for me, and I want to acknowledge my power of what I've done, then I definitely will never acknowledge the power to restructure it. So you have to think from a psychological point of view, biblical point of view, spiritual point of view, and a strength and authority point of view. And that is, it's better and it's more therapeutic to say, gosh, man, I really created a mess over here. I really created a bad time in my life right now with this situation. And when you do that, what happens is you begin to, all of a sudden, you begin to take notice that your mind will pick up the keywords you just used. I created a mess. I created a messy structure. Then your mind will say, ooh, creating structure. Hey, wait a minute. That means if I created a structure, I can recreate a structure. I can dismantle, I can recreate. The beautiful thing about the kingdom of God for all of us is to recognize and to awaken to the fact that we take responsibility for our lives. Why do we have we could look at Christianity, and let's take the religion part of Christianity, okay? We're not talking about relationship, the religion part of Christianity, but yet it's also embedded within people who have a great relationship with Jesus as well. And that is this, that there's popular phrases that Saturday Night Live in the 80s once said, you know, the devil made me do it, and we hear these phrases because we, as a body of believers, have made these phrases buzzwords, and the world laughs at it and says, oh, the devil made me maybe do it. Why? Because why would we use those phrases? Why would the world take those phrases and laugh at it? Because they hear us say it all the time, right? Why would we say it all the time? Because we don't take responsibility. It's so easy to blame an entity you've never seen. Hello, folks. It's easy to blame an entity you've never seen. It's harder to take responsibility and say, you know what? I have victory. I have authority over things like this, and I recognize my power, and because I recognize my power, I created a messy, messy thing, Lord, and if I created it, you know what, with your help and with your strength, I can just dismantle it, recreate it again. And guess what happens at that moment? You keep your power, you take responsibility, and you own up to your power to say, I can still do this. The problem with most of us is when you find yourself at a place where you don't understand your creative power, then you will definitely never understand your creative power to fix something. You'll definitely never understand your creative power to actually start something, birth something new, even call those things to be not as though they were, because you don't understand, because you've never acknowledged your creative power, because you're too busy feeling as if you're messing things up, not realizing messing things up is still creating messy things, right? And so psychologically and spiritually, it's empowering to you to say, oh man, you know what? I really created a mess over here. I really created a bad relationship over here. I really created a lie over here. Now hear me out for a moment. I really created this lie over here. Okay, let me ask you this question, folks. If I was to sit here, and we're going to take my amazing friend who works for the ministry, Pamela. Love her dearly. I know she's going to hear this. Let's take Pamela for a moment. Let's say, for example, if I was to call her on the phone and I said, hey, Pamela, you know what? Did I tell you that I met Angelina Jolie yesterday and we had dinner? And she's like, whoa, really? Wow, you met her and you had dinner with her? Oh, yeah, sure I did. Yeah. Okay. First of all, that's not true. Be cool if it was, but it's not true. But here's the key thing, folks, is what did I do to her? Okay, you can look at this and say, you lied to her. Absolutely. We know lying is totally wrong and it's totally anti-Bible, right? We should never lie. The truth sets us free. However, we could look at this at a stronger point of view to say, did I create a lie? Think about this, because in order for me to lie to you, I've got to create a fib. I got to create a story to tell you, and I'm going to make up, or let me put it this way, don't use the word make up, use the word create. I'm going to create this fib, this lie, to say, let's incorporate dinner, let's incorporate a famous person, let's incorporate, and so, you know, this and this, and what happened is I created a lie. So instead of saying, I lied, you lied, you take responsibility to say, I created a lie. Now then, are we going to be proud that we lied? No way, Jose. We're going to ask God to forgive us because lying is wrong. However, when you look at your phrases, you look and you begin to say, true, lying is absolutely wrong. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. However, I recognize I created this lie. Now, the reason why it's good to acknowledge that is because if I created the lie, I realize, Lord, I really did something wrong. Spirit of God, you've convicted me. I should call Pamela and say, I'm lying. I'm so sorry. I made this up. I created this lie. And how many of us have said, I created a lie? But yet we don't consciously think about what we just said. And so we would do that because that's the right thing to do as a believer. But then you need to say, but I feel horrible for what I did. Ask God to forgive me. Ask that person to forgive me. But I do take responsibility for the fact that I created that lie. So let me recreate that and tell the truth of what really happened. Maybe who I really met or how my day really went. So you create the truth. Think about it. You create the truth that then sets you free because you initiated it and you're establishing your truth of what you've created from the truth, and you bring forth a joy to somebody else to say, oh wow, I didn't know you really did that. You see what I'm saying? So think about everything you say. Start saying, start incorporating the word, I create, I created. The more you do, the more you will find where if you're in a deep, dark hole in your life and you're going through a lot of junk in your life, then when you get to the place of maybe the low place in your life, which hopefully you won't get there, but unfortunately we all go there. So once you get in the low place in your life, what will happen is you will bounce back so much quicker because you have already embedded in your life, wait a minute, I have created this low point in my life. How did I get here? I don't remember. However, if I created this low point, with some type of crazy structure that I made up, or I did unconsciously, or I did stupidly, or not thinking about it, then you have reinforced yourself going downwards that you created it. You will bounce back up and you will rise to the top very fast, because you'll find yourself saying, wait a minute, if I created that, oh Lord, forgive me, help me Lord, to get out of the situation, and I will recreate a new one, Father. We've heard people say, you know, one door shuts, another door opens. Absolutely true. But that door doesn't just open magically. God is not a Lucky Charms magically delicious God. He's not going to say, ooh, poof, there it is. No, He's going to help you to, in your experience, to learn from mistakes, to recreate something or to create anew. That's why He gives us examples to say, call those things to be not as though they were. That's your training ground, is to create something of how it should look. And so you've got it. You can't live without the word create in your vocabulary, because you do it all day long, every day, by yourself, with people, with your job, with your money, with everything. So you need to acknowledge that, because once you do, your life will bounce back quicker, and you'll go from glory to glory, and you'll go from one thing to another, because you realize, I'm creating. And creating something negative, sometimes, yes, it's bad, absolutely. However, you're empowering yourself by remembering, I created it. And creating is a beautiful word. That's the inheritance we have from our loving Father, is to be a co-creator in God. So I wanted to share that with you guys today, to where you can... food for thought, and you can sort of restructure your life, restructure your vocabulary, and you can re-examine everything about you, who you are. And when you do, life will be so much better for you, all right? Reinforce your creative ability more than anything, and when you do, you will have a life worth loving and living, all right? So thank you, as always, guys, for tuning into our podcast. We so appreciate every one of you. So many of you around the world are just my family. I love you all dearly. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to encourage you, if you're wanting to learn more about this kind of stuff, go to the website, identitynetwork.net, and look under my schools, and just actually you can download School of the Law of Attraction. School of Law of Attraction, it's 100% biblical for those of you who want to know, and you will learn a lot of things you've never heard from the Bible that you will love, and you can start a life worth living because you understand your tools and your weaponry of creating are fantastic, they're phenomenal, and you got them. Own them, use them today. God bless. And don't forget, as always, if you don't like the life you're living today, guess what? Start thinking new thoughts, recreate the life you worth living for yourself. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.